Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This is the final Issue Is podcast before the California recall election, something we have covered extensively here on the Issue Is week after week after week. We've interviewed all of the leading candidates one-on-one, some of them multiple times. This week, a conversation with Larry Elder, who ended up being the recall challenger who was lapping the field. And also, we have a conversation with John Myers, the Sacramento bureau chief for the LA Times, who's been covering politics in this state for decades, one of the smartest and most respected voices in this state, who's got some new polling that shows the governor is in a pretty good place going into it. So, here's the show, starting with Larry Elder.
Larry Elder, welcome back to The Issue Is. Good to see you in person.
Alex, nice to see you.
Closing argument is what?
Closing argument is go and vote to recall this man. We have to have 50% of Californians plus one vote to recall him. I'm not terribly worried about the replacement side. I'm far ahead of my rivals, as you well know. The closing argument is this man has mismanaged the state for the last 2 years. He shut down the state in the most severe way than did any of the other 49 governors. A third of all small businesses are gone forever. Many of them are owned by women and minorities. I only mention that because the left prides itself on caring about that. He had his own kids enjoying in-person private education while denying that opportunity for the kids who are in our government schools. 80% of them are black and brown people, again, the very people that the left claims that they care about. Before the pandemic, Alex, 75% of black boys could not read at state levels of proficiency, and those levels are already low. Nearly half of all kids in the third grade could not read at state levels of proficiency, and the math scores are even worse. They lost a whole year of in-person education, and that is why one of the many things I'm going to be championing when I become governor is choice in education, so that the money will follow the child rather than the other way around. I understand there's going to be a ballot initiative for ESAs, that stands for Education Savings Accounts, so the 15 grand we're spending per student would go into an account that the parent could choose to use for a charter school, a private school, a religious school, or even for homeschooling. We have the outrageous cost of living. The average price of a home in California just hit $800,000. That is literally 150% more than the average price of a home outside of California, or 250% more depending upon what study you read. That is why for the very first time in our state's history, we are losing people. We're losing middle class people. We're losing wealthy people. And speaking of wealthy people that nobody seems to care about, because of our outrageous state income tax, which is 13.3%, the highest state income tax in the nation, the top 1% pay almost half of all state income taxes. That's half of the state income tax revenue. They're leaving and they're taking their taxes with them. That is why businesses are declining. That is why the Hoover Institute just put out a study that found for the first 6 months of this year, the rate at which businesses are leaving is twice the rate at which businesses were leaving the previous 3 years. These are because of the outrageous policies of tax, spend, regulate that businesses have been facing for decades because of the dominance of the Democrats in Sacramento, led by this man known as Gavin Newsom.
That's a lengthy closing argument. No, but, you know, big picture, the Newsom campaign is trying to make this a lot about COVID-19 and you. That seems to be their focus. And their argument is that if you become governor, the people of California are going to be less safe and less healthy, because what you're suggesting in terms of vaccine mandates and mask mandates is irresponsible. And that examples like Texas and Florida, they are doing worse than we are right now. What do you say to that?
I would say, what is my position on vaccines and mandates?
Your position is that it should be up to the local areas, and that you've been vaccinated yourself, and you encourage other people to get vaccinated if that's their choice.
Doesn't that sound pretty responsible, pretty commonsensical? When I become governor, to the extent that there are mandates for state workers, Alex, right now there are mandates. Anybody who's not been vaccinated, if he or she is a state worker, will be tested once a week and will have to wear a mask at work. Seems to me that's against science. The whole reason behind getting vaccinated, I thought, is that you're protected against people who've not been vaccinated. And the people who've not been vaccinated are assuming the risk, so you're going to require somebody who's assumed the risk to wear a mask to protect himself or herself against somebody else who's also assumed the risk. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I'm called anti-science. I've also been accused of saying that children can't contract the coronavirus. I never said that. I said children are less likely to contract it, they're less likely to get sick, they're less likely to be hospitalized, and they're certainly highly unlikely to die. I think that all individual schools, individual localities should be able to make that decision, and certainly the private sector should be able to make that decision.
And but in terms of, has the Delta variant changed the science? More contagious, the CDC says, because of that, there is vax-to-vax transmission, and so the science has changed in terms of masks?
Well, I think the science still is, the jury's still out on that. I still believe that the people who've been vaccinated are far less likely to contract the coronavirus, far less likely to contract the Delta virus, far less likely to get sick, far less likely to infect other people, far less likely to be hospitalized. The bottom line, though, Alex, is that there are also other costs, too. In shutting down this state, suicides went up, homicides went up, domestic violence went up. The number one reporter of domestic violence against kids are the teachers. And as a result, for kids not being in school, we have no idea how many kids were subject to domestic violence. There are other ancillary things that were negative as a result of shutting down this state that Gavin Newsom does not take into consideration. I still think I rely on the common sense and good judgment of the average Californian. The average Californian can get vaccinated if he or she wants to. Poor people can get vaccinated for free. A lot of people have made the decision not to get vaccinated. Some people, Alex, have listened to people like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, when they both said if Donald Trump told them to take the vaccine, they weren't going to take it. Some people have already contracted the vaccine and therefore feel they have immunities. And some people feel that the vaccine was approved on an emergency basis because the average vaccine takes about 5 years to approve. And this was done in less than a year. So for all of these reasons, a lot of people have not made the decision to become vaccinated. I think we ought to respect that.
And lastly, Republicans are clearly in love with you right now. Every poll shows you are lapping the field. But in order for you to become governor, you need to get Democratic support based off of the numbers of Democrats in this state. So what is your message specifically to Democrats that are going back and forth on whether to recall the governor or not and are concerned about some of what he's saying that you might be too extreme and out of touch with where Democrats are at?
Alex, you have to spread your legs. You're so tall. is that annoying? you got to do that. 1.7 million people signed the petition. A quarter of them were Democrats and independents who just voted for him 2 years earlier. 65% of Hispanics voted for him 2 years earlier. Now the majority of Hispanics want him gone. The majority of independents, a non-party preferences, we call them in California, want this man gone. This is across the board. Crime doesn't have a color. It is up. The decline in the quality of schools doesn't have a color. It is down. The departure of people because of the high cost of living doesn't have a color. The rise in homelessness doesn't have a color. People are fed up. That is why we're having a net migration out of California for the first time. And that is cutting across party lines, across ideological lines. That is why this man is going to be recalled come September 14th.
Larry Elder, thank you very much. Great to see you.
I appreciate it.
Our thanks to Larry Elder. We had hoped to include Governor Newsom's perspective in this show. We reached out to the governor's team every day this week asking for a 5 to 10 minute interview. Initially, they suggested we would likely get one, but in the end, they did not make time for one. Regardless of what happens in the recall race, we hope Mr. Newsom will join us on The Issue Is again sometime soon. The invitation is open. Up next, analysis from John Myers of the LA Times. But first, throughout this show, we're going to be featuring memorable moments from our recall coverage. We go to break with Larry Elder's dance moves from back in July.
This is what I'm going to do when I win on September the 14th. I'm going to help Gavin Newsom pack and go back to his winery.
They think if they can win in California, they can do this anywhere. Well, we will show them you're not going to get this done. Not here, never.
Vice President Kamala Harris back home in the Bay Area, making the pitch for Governor Newsom in the final days of the recall race. Right now, it looks like the Democratic strategy is working. Let's talk more about the state of the race with John Myers. He is the Sacramento Bureau Chief for the LA Times. John, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
All right, so let's start off by talking about your poll, the closing poll from your paper, the LA Times and UC Berkeley. Let's put it up on the screen. Here it is. No on recall in the closing day is at 60%. Yes on the recall, about 38.5%. That's a big change from July. Let's put those numbers up on the screen. Back then, 47% wanted to recall the governor. Just 50% supported him. John, the Democrats took some big risks in this campaign, spent a whole lot of money, but it appears that their strategy, the bet, seems to be paying off.
Yeah, I think it does. Let's talk about why those polls are so different. And it all comes down to who is a likely voter. This poll, all kinds of public surveys, try to figure out who's a likely voter, who's really going to show up. Well, in the poll back in July, it looked like Democrats were not going to show up. They were, you know, apathetic for some reason. Oh, I don't care about it. He's going to win, whatever the reason. That made the Republicans a larger section of that likely voter electorate. Now, fast forward to the poll that we've just put out that you've talked about, and Democrats have come back. They are now much more similar in the likely voter electorate as they are in voter registration, where they dominate in California. Democrats voting to protect the Democratic governor, that's where the race seems to be. And so, yeah, it was a bet. It was a bet primarily because getting Democrats to, you know, to get off their backsides and vote, and that seems to be doing the trick.
And part of that was keeping a Democrat off the ballot on question two, or a high-profile establishment Democrat off the ballot in question two. So they really could run on this message of a Republican recall. And that has been hammered home by a lot of national Democrats as well. We've seen Kamala Harris making a pitch this week, Elizabeth Warren, Barack Obama, Amy Klobuchar, Joe Biden is coming, trying to remind Democrats, who, of course, there are twice as many of them in this state, hey, Gavin Newsom's a Democrat. Those other guys are not.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, right? You and I grew up in an era where we were always told all politics is local, right? Well, in this era, it feels like all politics is national. The nationalization of this message and so many of the political messages we hear has worked so far in galvanizing these Democrats to come out, that this is a Republican recall, that all of the Republican candidates are anti-vaccine. They're not all anti-vaccine. They're anti-vaccine mandates, which you've interviewed them and we could talk about. But that fear, that sense that there's a pandemonium that would happen if you allowed Newsom to be recalled, has been very palpable and has worked for the California electorate. And I have to point out, too, I didn't say this earlier, in the poll that was just concluded, it's not just Democrats who believe the recall is a mistake. It's independent voters. It's moderate voters, self-described moderates. This is not just a liberal Democratic reaction. This is a broader electorate reaction against this recall so far.
And so we're going to see the president coming. We know Barack Obama cut an ad as well, probably the most popular Democrat of all. Other things that are really helping the Democrats, John, is got to be mail-in balloting, right? The fact that every person in the state that's a registered voter gets a ballot, which means it's a whole lot easier to vote than it would be if you had to go stand in a line on one day.
It's fascinating to me that we are turning our election system back to the future into a method of voting, absentee, that was created in the Civil War, and it is now the future of voting. And yes, we have an election month. We mailed out ballots to 22 million voters. It was in part because of the pandemic and concerns that it might not be safe from a health perspective to vote in person. But I will tell you, too, the legislature is here on the verge of, well, they've sent it to the governor, a plan to have mail balloting permanently in California. And yes, Democrats have responded. They have voted that way. Republicans, we're seeing in our poll, want to vote in person or on election day, concerned about election security. We haven't seen anything to raise those questions, but they have them. And so I think we're going to see an electorate that shows up on Tuesday that's more Republican, but these Democratic ballots, if the polls are right and if the early numbers of the ballots returned are right, are just going to keep coming and coming, and it's going to be very tough for the recall forces to overtake that.
And it seems like a lot of the folks on the anti-recall place, it seems like a lot of the folks that are against the recall feel like they've already built up enough of a cushion that if there is a big Republican turnout on Tuesday, they already have the votes in place. But let's talk about question two on the ballot, because this is why people vote and surprises can happen. If the governor is recalled, who would replace him? In your poll, Larry Elder running away with it, as we see in every poll. Larry Elder, 38% in the Times poll. Kevin Paffrath, the Democrat and YouTube finance expert, at 10%. Former San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner, 8%. John Cox at 4%. Kevin Kiley also at 4%. What do you make of Larry Elder's strategy and the way that he has completely changed the race here in California?
Well, he's changed it dramatically, but let me say something really quickly. What else is in that poll is that 48% of Democrats said they were leaving the second question blank, which, of course, we can talk about some more. So this is very much a subset of voters who are predisposed to vote for the Republicans. And Larry Elder has run away with this race on the Republican side. He came from nowhere. He largely represents the Trump movement, I think, in Republican politics. Kevin Faulkner, John Cox. Kevin Faulkner, who was the guy that was believed to be the great savior of Republican politics in the state to run statewide, very small numbers in the poll. This has been Elder's race. This could be Elder's California Republican Party. No matter what happens on Election Day, even if the recall is not successful, it's hard to see Larry Elder walking away from this prominent role he has now in Republican politics.
You know, there are a lot of people that have criticized the governor for that idea of leave question two blank. It, again, is a big bet on your own strategy. But it seems like one person that's especially hurt by that is Kevin Faulkner, who's trying to be more of a moderate candidate.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and you know, this is the great debate that was never ended in the Gray-Davis recall of 2003, where there were Democrats on the ballot, most notably Cruz Bustamante, the lieutenant governor, who ran as a replacement candidate. The Davis people said that did it because then Democrats felt safe in recalling Davis because they had a Democrat they could vote for. So that was the strategy. That's going to be the story. We talk about this for years to come, that Newsom was successful at keeping any other Democrat off that ballot. But it has changed that second question. It has not made it reflective of the larger California electorate. And I think that's where the danger is going to be out of this, Alex, is people look at those results on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday and say, well, gosh, look how popular Larry Elder is. Well, it's popular because there are a lot of Republicans only voting in that second question. Our poll showed that 67% of the Republican votes were in Elder's category. That is partly why he's at the top of that. And yes, it did not help Faulkner, who was trying to run a campaign looking for Democrats. It didn't seem to have worked so far.
Well, and you would also think that sort of cynically, the Newsom campaign would rather run against Larry Elder next year. So a big number for Larry Elder on that second question may actually end up helping them down the road. But now we're getting into all that sort of 3D chess stuff. Real quickly, though, on your poll, Caitlyn Jenner, way, way behind. Can you remember a candidate with so much name ID doing so poorly in a campaign?
Probably not. I mean, certainly her name ID eclipses the normal ways we measure it. It's a pop culture moment. It's the reality show. It's the world of athletics. It's obviously her very celebrated change in who she was and her coming out and her, you know, everything that she's gone through really did give her a lot of prominence. But then she went to Australia for a reality TV show. Then it was a campaign that was largely about merchandise on the website. And she's been very critical in the last few days of this election of the press, saying that they haven't paid attention to her. Well, we were criticized at the beginning for paying too much attention to her. The reality is she's not polling. She's almost non-existent in this poll, even among Republicans. She's in the low single digits. And so you have to wonder at the end of this, what does this say about the candidacy and whether or not there was really ever going to be a focus on issues or whether it was the cult of personality?
Well, when we come back, John returns to talk about what's next post-recall. But before we go to break, we look back at some of the unforgettable moments that went viral from our show during this recall race. This one involves Caitlyn Jenner. Do you think that taxes on the rich should be lowered in California?
I think it's an issue. I haven't gotten strongly into exactly what we're going to have.
Your closing argument is what?
I want your help in your vote. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent, I'm ready to lead on day one.
That is former San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner making his closing pitch, trying to win over Democrats. But in the final days of the recall race, things are increasingly looking partisan. We are back with John Myers, the Sacramento Bureau Chief of the LA Times. Let's assume that your recent poll and all the other polls and the ballots we've seen turned in are right and the governor defeats this recall. Where does Governor Newsom go from here?
And I tell you, Alex, if the polling is wrong here again, we have another huge conversation about polling in the state. But I feel pretty good with what I have seen so far. Where do we go? I mean, I think the question is, how does the governor react should he prevail here? Does he see this as vindication of everything he's done? Does he see it as a near-death experience in the world of politics? What do Republicans feel like about this? I mean, you see on social media now, they already say the fix is in, the ballots are rigged. There's no evidence of that, folks. But, you know, that narrative is going to be there and is going to fuel that kind of resentment. You know, I saw the governor at the end of the week when he cast a vote in Sacramento. And I suggested to him that this is not the end of an election. It's just round one of a long political season. The 2022 campaign is right around the corner. And you have to believe Gavin Newsom, Larry Elder, Kevin Faulkner, more perhaps off of this ballot, will return for a second round, a second part of this conversation. It's going to be really interesting to see how much of the politics stays as white hot as it is, and what does the governor do for his agenda should he prevail?
And to that point, do you think that Larry Elder is going to keep on running?
Elder has said he's going to run again if he's unsuccessful. Kevin Faulkner has said it. Kevin Kiley, the assemblyman from Northern California, said it. Caitlyn Jenner said it at the beginning of the campaign. I don't know whether we hold these people to this, but there are a lot of people who have said that it's easy to see a repeat, at least of some of these themes and messages. And I get back again, 2022 will be the midterm elections nationally with the House of Representatives up and the Senate up. Again, all politics is local? No. In this era of the 21st century, all politics seems to be national. And I think we're going to keep having this conversation. So I hate to say that because I think it's an unsettled time for Californians. But I don't think the election of this recall election is going to settle all of it.
And what about a guy like Kevin Faulkner? At the beginning of this, there was thought that he would be endorsed by the state Republican Party, ending up really struggling in the polls. If he continues running, which there's every indication he is, how does he change that up going forward?
Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, he was the first one to get into the race, Alex. You'll remember he got in when we didn't know if there was going to be a recall and said he was running for 2022. And he ran through this entire recall campaign, what I would call a general election campaign. And what I mean by that for people watching is that everybody else was running a primary, it felt like. They were playing to their base only. Faulkner was looking to play outside of the base, talking about his pragmatism, his record in San Diego, which is a Democrat and Republican city. But that message didn't sell. It didn't sell with Republicans first, and Democrats were suspicious. And that's really the most interesting, one of the most interesting takeaways for me is that that's where politics used to be in this state. Mm-hmm. Whether it was Pete Wilson, George Duke Majan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, there were Republicans with a balance. And some people will quibble with some of those governors. But Kevin Faulkner is a guy as a throwback, and the politics isn't working at this point for them.
Well, and one thing that he never really did was he never really broke with Donald Trump. And in a state where Donald Trump lost by 30 points, it's hard to get Democrats behind you in that scenario as well.
And he tried to, you remember, Alex, to your point, a really good point, he tried to kind of almost have it both ways.
Right.
Well, I'm not for Trump, but I'm kind of for Trump, but I voted for Trump. And that just struck a lot of people in a bad way. And that's going to be another thing he'll have to continue to talk about, I think, for the rest of his political career.
Right. It ended up hurting him both with Republicans and Democrats and not really winning on either side. Okay. The state GOP put a lot of money, put a lot of effort behind this. A lot of people thought this was their best shot at trying to bring down Governor Newsom. Where does the Republican Party go from here, which has not won statewide since 2006?
I have had a lot of people in recent years say that the Republican Party in California is really more of a regional party now than it is a state party. And I think this is another election that might prove that point, where there are places that Republicans do very well. They do very well in the Central Valley, the Inland Empire. They hold their own in some places on the Central Coast. But it's not a statewide party, in the north part of the state, too, but there aren't a lot of voters there. It's not a statewide party. It doesn't have a statewide brand. Its brand has been we're against what Democrats do, but its brand hasn't been, here's what we want to do instead. And I know that has vexed a lot of Republicans, especially those who serve here in Sacramento, but it's an ongoing issue. You know, you got to be for something, not just against something sometimes in politics. And I think voters don't know exactly what makes this Republican Party different than the national brand of Donald Trump, which Californians overwhelmingly have rejected.
Well, John, thank you for all of your coverage throughout the recall. Of course, you can follow John on Twitter, subscribe to his paper, subscribe to his newsletter. If you want to be smarter, you need to follow John Myers.
Thank you. That was nice. Thank you.
All right. Up next, a final word from me and from the governor. But before we go, more funny moments from the campaign trail. This moment from the recall debate is one I wasn't expecting.
So, Mr. Cox, what is something embarrassing your kids would tell us about you?
Oh, boy, that my wife doesn't like my nose hair.
Okay.
Oh, too much information.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
Back on June 16th, Governor Newsom invited me to ride the Revolution Ride with him at Six Flags Magic Mountain as the park was incentivizing vaccine use.
For the ride, Governor.
I'm glad you made it.
That was fun.
I told you, you're the only guy who's ever been caught on a roller coaster with a suit and tie. I'm just saying. I mean, that was worth it for all of us.
Now, the roller coaster is really the perfect metaphor for this California recall ride we've all been on together here on The Issue Is. We've done more statewide interviews with the governor than any other show and saw him relax, starting to get nervous, and then confident again. We've interviewed all the candidates one-on-one. We hosted the first statewide candidates debate at the Nixon Library, which got a lot of national press attention. Nothing, though, got more press attention than our interview with Caitlyn Jenner. It was the first statewide interview of her campaign, and it was one we will soon not forget. This election has been full of surprises. Earlier this year, who could have predicted that Larry Elder would be the GOP frontrunner? Remember, it wasn't long ago that Larry Elder said California was ungovernable and he'd never run for office. Once he did, he became a hero to many on the GOP. Who could have predicted that the top Republican candidate from last time around, John Cox, would campaign up and down the state with a live bear and nickname himself the Beast? Although this campaign often felt like a circus, there are real issues at stake. The job of California governor, hugely important, impacts all of our lives. We leave you now with a clip from our interview last month with Governor Newsom. It's been shared thousands of times by folks on both the left and the right, arguing for and against the recall. And it's a reminder why you should vote regardless of your views. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for watching The Issue Is. Now go vote. There are a lot of people that have asked me, how much can a governor really do in a year with a Democratic supermajority? What's the answer to that?
I mean, you can lie down and veto everything coming out of the legislature. You can veto everything that comes from the legislature.
But there's a veto-proof majority, right?
Well, there is and there isn't. A lot of things are stubborn. There's a lot of diversity even within the Democratic caucus. At the end of the day, you could start to vandalize all the executive orders. You can eliminate the masking requirement for public schools. You can eliminate the vaccine requirements for public health care workers. So many of the things that I signed through executive order can be done overnight. You can appoint judges without any oversight and consideration. That's going to have an impact for years and years and years. If there's a vacancy, and you've seen many vacancies, Secretary of State, U.S. Senator, you've seen an Attorney General, you appoint County Board of Supervisors. I appoint half a dozen. You'll be able to appoint people that will permanently have that opportunity to represent. So it is a profound consequence. And also you have the bully pulpit of the fifth largest economy in the world. And you have a midterm election coming up with another California who wants to take out Nancy Pelosi. Consequences are pretty extraordinary.
And thanks again for listening to the Issue Is podcast. We hope that you'll share us out, connect with me in social media, and of course, we hope you'll vote. We'll see you next week for more of The Issue Is.